So as I was considering what to share with you today, I was looking at past sermons and wondering if there was something that may be applicable for the time we are in now. You may be wondering, how could anything pre-COVID be applicable to today? Nearly 4 years ago, January 14th, 2017, I gave this sermon, and it was entitled Hayom, Today is the Day. I've since modified it a bit to sort of bring it up to date, because a few things have transpired over the last 4 years in case you haven't been paying attention. Back in 2017, we weren't bound by the many restrictions we have today when it came to our lives. Before we do anything, whether in the forefront of our mind or dwelling somewhere within our subconscious, we are confronted with new concerns before we even step foot outside the door. Do I have my mask and my hand sanitizer with me? Will there be a line at the store when I get there? If so, how long will I have to wait outside? We went to Walmart the other day. No problem going in. When we came out, there was a line going up one end, and there were actually lines at both doors looking to get in. Sort of reminiscent of about 6 months ago. So watching or reading the news, you wonder what will be next. We've been under a state of emergency since March 17th. And just this past week, our Congress and Senate in the state of Maine are back in session. Since March 17th, they've been out of session. We've been under a state of emergency since March 15th, as I reiterated. From government-imposed curfews and capacity limitations for business to individual restrictions, life is certainly not what it was on January 14th, 2017. Yet this sermon was inspired by a bulletin insert. Earlier in that week, 4 years ago, I had an idea of what the sermon would be about, but had yet to construct what it would look like or what the Ruach HaKodesh would instill or guide me towards. As I was printing out the material on that day 4 years ago for the bulletin, Jerry had created an insert, How to Tell If You Are Wasting Your Life. As I was reading it, one of the eight reasons struck me. See if this is applicable today. You always have a reason not to take action. This is what it said in the insert. Isn't it funny how some people say they want something but never actually take action to make it happen? Maybe it's saying they want to travel. Try doing that right now. Or get a new job. Try that right now. Or find a new boyfriend or girlfriend. But as soon as they say they want something, they sabotage their own plan by giving an endless list of excuses why it wouldn't work. Always remember that inaction gets you nowhere in life except to a place filled with regret. So today, with all the impediments before us, how easy is it to consider that from 4 years ago? It was talking about taking action in living our life. The verse that was associated with this point of the eight was Ezra chapter 10 and verse 4. Rise up. This matter is in your hands. We will support you. So take courage and do it. How much is in our hands these days? Not as much as there used to be. Today it seems like you have many more reasons not to take action. Based on this one aspect, you always have a reason not to take action. Today we have more reasons, yet we cannot stop living our lives. You have been given more reasons to not even venture a foot outside of your home. Online shopping now offers groceries, so the trip to pick up the food can be addressed through delivery. Restaurant delivery is widespread now, whether it is the establishment's own delivery system itself or the many services offered, DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats. You never have to step your foot outside the door to go to a restaurant ever again. Streaming services are available through TV, computer, and cell phone, so you never have to go to the movie theater again. Online conferences makes it possible to meet face-to-face with one individual or a group. Why spend the money to travel when you can see them online? The same goes for online options made available by congregations, including this one. In some instances, you may be out of state, and that makes it something that if there's not an option in your area, and Messianic Jewish congregations are not a dime a dozen on every corner of every city, basically. So there are some benefits, yet everything has become so convenient that isolation has become more prominent. Add online banking and direct deposit, along with working from home, and you never have to leave your home ever again. Yet all of these conveniences make it much easier to not take action. Consider the flu pandemic of 1918 through 1920, yes, 100 years ago. It has been estimated that nearly one-third of the world population at the time, 1.8 billion people, were infected by the Spanish flu, or what is identified as H1N1, with the mortality rate estimated at between 4 and 5%. On 1.8 billion, we're talking approximately 100 million people died from the Spanish flu. Today's world population is four times that. We're approaching 8 billion people in the world. So within 100 years, the population of the world has quadrupled. Yes, there are millions of cases today. Yet what do we know about pandemics of the past? They came to an end, and life did again resume. The only question today, given the infusion of the internet, social media, traditional media, is what will the resumption of our lives truly look like? I'm not going to speculate on that today, but keeping in mind that might be a sermon later on. As the Spanish flu was dying out through herd immunity, whereby the virus had nowhere to go as a result of antibodies from those already infected, life resumed. Consider how the decade of the 20s is remembered, the Roaring 20s. As the decade roared on, there seemed to be little, if any, hangover of the pandemic. Yet keeping in mind there were hangovers from other aspects of the 20s. So today, I want to revisit the sermon of 4 years ago. We're reading in context, not just Ezra 10:4, but starting in verse 1. While Ezra was praying and making confession, weeping and prostrating before the house of God, a huge crowd of Israel's men, women, children gathered around him, and the people were weeping bitterly. Shekinyahu, the son of Jehiel, one of the descendants of Eliam, spoke up and said to Ezra, "We have acted treacherously towards our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples of the land, that in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. We should make a covenant with our God to send away all these wives, along with their children, in obedience to the advice of Adonai and to those who tremble at the mitzvah of our God. Let us act in accordance with the Torah. And then verse 4, stand up and do your duty. For we are with you. Take courage and do it. So basically, Ezra was confronted and said, we did a bad thing. And what ultimately is a restoration? Returning to God. And then Ezra's encouragement, stand up and do your duty. Do what you said you were going to do. Which got me thinking about the when of this dynamic. When should we take action? Remember, I already knew what this sermon would be about. So in reading the reason of number 6, which I shared with you, I had my connection. The answer to the previous question of when is today. Never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. That's not scripture. It's Thomas Jefferson. By definition, today means on or in the course of this present time. So today is the present. It's not the past, it's not the future, it's the present. Nowhere is this more prevalent than in Deuteronomy. Some call it the second law, while I would rather call it the scroll of today. Today does not have a direct corresponding Hebrew word associated with it. There is no specific word for today in Scripture, in Hebrew. What you will see in Hebrew, when you see the word today in English, is Hayom, the day. So whenever you think about it, today is the day, simply put. 65 times Hayom is used in Deuteronomy by itself. That's why I call it the scroll of today. When we read such passages as Deuteronomy 4:8, what great nation is there that has laws and rulings as just as this entire Torah which I am setting before you Hayom, today? Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Today. This is Moses speaking, in essence, conveying what God is saying that occurred in the past. Yet he's reflecting on it as present tense. This is what God said when he said it. No, Moses, in essence, conveying a past event in a present tense, meaning that God's word is continually present tense. Not some undetermined moment in the future, but now, today. When we read the Shema, or chant the Shema, recite the V'ahavta. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources. These words which I am ordering you, Hayom, today, are to be on your heart. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, and not some distant time in the future beyond tomorrow, but today, Hayom. Adonai is conveying through Moses the components of the relationship they, Israel, is to have with Adonai. It starts with the heart expressed through action and is at hand today. Meaning that any opportunity you have at the moment you have it is today. God is available today. God is near today. God is with you today. We're not talking future tense. We're not talking past tense. We're talking present tense. If he's with you today and tomorrow becomes today, what does that mean? That he's always with you today? Because each day is today. So the sixth is tomorrow, but when it becomes the sixth, it's today. Yes, I know. Your heads are probably spinning and aching right now. But keeping in mind, anytime it's today, God is with you, simply put. Not the excuse that some people make. I'm not ready to come to God yet. I'm having too much fun. I'm too busy. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. Why put off something tomorrow that can encounter you today? God can encounter you today if you invite him, if you allow him to. Adonai's response to Israel is Hayom. 19 times Hayom and Mitzvot are found together in the same verse in Deuteronomy. So what does that convey? Adonai's Mitzvot are meant for today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. But what he asks us to do is meant for today. Yes, Shabbat might be a week away, but what are you doing today? You're intending to separate Shabbat when Shabbat arrives. So when we look at a passage such as Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 37, because he loved your ancestors, chose their descendants after them, and brought you out of Egypt with his presence and great power, in order to drive out ahead of you nations greater and stronger than you, so that he could bring you in and give you their land as an inheritance, as is the case today. Know today and establish it in your heart that Adonai is God in heaven above, on the earth below. There is no other. Therefore, you are to keep his laws and mitzvot, which I am giving you today, so that it will go well with you and with your children after you, and so that you will prolong your days in the land Adonai your God is giving you forever. This is the promise that he made to Israel. Be with me today. Live with me today. 19 times Moses conveying to a new generation of Israel, the promises of Adonai are at hand today. Not at some point in the future that is yet to be determined, but today. 19 times Moses stresses to the people the connection of Adonai and his mitzvot. This is what will differentiate you from the other nations of the world. This is what will make you my people. Consider Deuteronomy 5, starting in verse 23. When you heard the voice coming out of the darkness as the mountains blazed with fire, you came to me, all the heads of your tribes and your leaders, and said, "Here, Adonai our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. We have heard his voice coming from the fire, and we have seen today that God does speak with human beings, and they stay alive." God's interaction is meant for today. We're not to look back on past glory, but we're to renew our relationship with him every day we wake up. Consider Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25. Adonai ordered us to observe all these laws, to fear Adonai our God, always for our own good, so that he might keep us alive as we are today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to obey all these mitzvot before Adonai our God, just as he ordered us to do. And this is our focus for this year. Understanding what God has given to Israel and how it applies to the nations. Then we have Deuteronomy 8, 1 and 2. All the mitzvot I am giving you today, you are to take care to obey. Don't be sloppy in what you do. Don't be reckless in what you do. Don't be irresponsible in what you do. Take care, so that you will live, increase your numbers, enter and take possession of the land Adonai swore about to your ancestors. You are to remember everything of the way in which Adonai led you 40 years in the desert, humbling and testing you in order to know what is in your heart, whether you should obey his mitzvot or not. And then 18 through 20. No, you are to remember Adonai your God, because it is he who is giving you the power to get wealth in order to confirm his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as is happening even today. So he's bringing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob forward to today. The patriarchs are of the past, but the relationship that he brings is to the covenant which is today. If you forget Adonai your God, follow other gods, and serve and worship them, I am warning you in advance today that you will certainly perish. You will perish just like the nations that Adonai is causing to perish ahead of you, because you will not have heeded the voice of Adonai your God. Last year, we spent a great deal of time in Deuteronomy and Isaiah. In 8 of the 11 Haftorah readings associated with Deuteronomy were from Isaiah, including the example that we're going to see in Luke chapter 4, whereby I had conveyed that the Parsha cycle existed at the time of Yeshua and further established for us a time in which he was at his local synagogue in Netzaret, and what had already transpired starting on Tisha B'Av and leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we read in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Now when he went to Netzaret, where he had been brought up, on Shabbat he went to the synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll from the prophet Yeshayahu or Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Adonai is upon me. Therefore, he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who had been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favor of Adonai." After closing the scroll and returning it to the shamash, he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Interestingly, Yeshua's response is rather striking. He started to speak to them. "Today, as you heard it, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled." No excuses from Yeshua, no delay, but the appropriate time in which God would act. The very words Hayom, stated 65 times in Deuteronomy, conveyed by Moses to Israel, emphasizing that it is now, not tomorrow, but now. Yeshua too is emphasizing now when his Sermon on the Mount, he tells us, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Time to start thinking with the Jewish mindset. What parsha is associated with the passage of the scripture where Yeshua read from Isaiah 61 through 63. It's Parsha Nitzavim, which means standing. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 10 through chapter 30 and verse 20. So prior to Yeshua's reading of Isaiah in the synagogue, there would have been read the Parsha for Nitzavim, including these verses. Look, I am presenting to you Hayom, with on the one hand life and good, and on the other hand death and evil, in that I am ordering you Hayom to love Adonai your God, to follow his ways, and to obey his mitzvot, regulations, and rulings. For if you do, you will live and increase your numbers, and Adonai your God will bless you in the land you are entering in order to take possession of it. But if your hearts turn away, if you refuse to listen, If you are drawn away to prostrate yourselves before other gods and serve them, I am announcing to you, Hayom, that you will certainly perish. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call on heaven and earth to witness against you, Hayom, that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving Adonai your God, paying attention to what he says and clinging to him, for that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land Adonai your God he would give to your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. In these 6 verses, how many times did I say Hayom? 4 times. Emphasis is placed by repetition. Hence, I'm repeating myself with intent. The message of the prophet Isaiah to Israel, read by Yeshua, and the word of Adonai from Torah conveying the promise that is before them today, and Yeshua ultimately putting a seal on it. These promises that are said for today are for today. They have been fulfilled. Today, much is happening and will continue to happen as each moment draws us closer to the return of Messiah. The challenges are greater now than they were 4 years ago. We are seeing an enormous impact upon the body of Messiah. The impact of restricted attendance is only further amplifying a problem and trend that have been heading in the wrong direction for years. Attendance is down everywhere. Is the gap being made up online? I will share more about this disturbing trend either next week or the week after. In our case, to some extent, we're combined both online and in person. We average between 40 and 50 people, which is what we had previously. In some instances, it's not the case. My mother-in-law's church has seen their attendance dwindle, and yet their online service does not make up for the difference. It is imperative that you grasp, take hold of Messiah, even tighter, Hayom, today. An isolated believer is not good. The emphasis Scripture places upon community is not accomplished virtually. We are required to and need to come together as a people. Adonai said that it is not good for man to be alone in Genesis 2:18. This dynamic has not changed in 6,000 plus years. And I don't believe it will change. Gatherings are infused throughout Adonai's order. Whether it is the weekly Shabbat, identified as a convocation, a gathering, as are the Moedim, appointed times designated for gathering, all are intended to honor Adonai. He delights in the presence of his people when we gather together to honor him. So don't let the conveniences that have, how put this, that have made our lives easier be an excuse for choosing not to take action, not to do things. Let us do everything Hayom today, thus taking action and not offering any excuse of why we don't. Time is short. Time continues to be short. Every moment I speak, we are that much closer to Yeshua's return. Time is not prominent for him. He said he's returning soon. To us, we have a clock To Yeshua, he has eternity where there is no clock. Soon is not relative in eternity. So when you're waiting in eternity, it means you're not looking at your clock wondering, well, when is it going to happen? You have all eternity to wait. There is no hurry. So let us pay attention and let us not lose sight of what today is. Not Shabbat, just today. Whatever day that is. Because it's one less day you have to do whatever God is calling you to do. And just to let you know, in my notes, I put the insert from 4 years ago in my notes so you have them, so you can read them again. How to tell if you are wasting your life. So I'm not going to go over them, but it will be online probably tomorrow. So if everybody will please rise.